Certainly good to be with y'all today. I do appreciate the opportunity to be out here with y'all and study with y'all and visit with you and be amongst you during this time. This is a very sobering time because today you're going to do something that is the most important thing you'll do this whole week, and that's partake of the Lord's Supper. Nothing you'll do all week is more important than this. You know, in fact, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about the Lord's Supper there, as we call it. He says in beginning at verse 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinking damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And he goes on to say in verse 30, "For this cause," he's talking about the cause of taking the Lord's Supper and not thinking about what you're doing. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Friends, that's just about as scary a verse as you can read in the Bible right there. That's right. And let me encourage you right now. When you get to that part of the service today, when we get there, you put everything out of your mind but what you're doing and what this is for and what this is about. Maybe back in 1987, I'm not sure, but a sister, she's still living. I say she's 97 now. Her husband passed away this year. I'm thinking Brother Lehman and Sister Lehman up in Tennessee. And many times at the back door, she would tell me these words, "Brother Bass, I've got to do better." And I told her one day, I said, "Sister Lehman, I'm going to put together some thoughts on that." And so I did. And let's talk today about "I've got to do better." I've written on the board, hopefully you can read it, that the honest person after real self-evaluation is never satisfied. There are so many things we should do and are not doing. So many things we should not do and are doing. And so many things we are doing but should do better. That fits my life. That's right. Fits my life. If Paul talked about his life, he talked about some things about his life in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. And he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after," Paul says, "if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." And then he uses the word "press." I press. You ever pressed? You know, sometimes we kind of half-hearted do something. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Controlling my tongue," and I need this lesson. I need this lesson. Because I like to talk. And you think about the words that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, In verse 36, but I say unto you that every. Is that what it says? Is that what your book says? Mine says it too. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned. You know, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, some words that I need. And he says, and that you study to be quiet. And if I'm going to be quiet, you know what I've got to do? I've got to think about it. That's right. I've got to think about being quiet. I've got to think about it. Wilbur, shut up. Be quiet. Don't talk. Study to be quiet, to do your own business. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Do I do that? Am I swift to hear? Am I slow to speak? I've got to do better. I've got to do better. You remember reading the old Bible in Proverbs 31? And he talks about a virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. And it says in verse 10 of that, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And he goes on throughout the chapter there, the rest of the chapter, to describe a virtuous woman. But notice verse 26. Friends, I've read this. I could not tell you how many times at a sister's funeral. Sometimes I didn't read it at a sister's funeral because it did not fit, in my opinion. But look at this. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. What did he say? By thy words I shall be justified, and by thy words I shall be condemned. In Proverbs 12:18, there's there that speaketh lie like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And that is so true, isn't it? There's things that we say, or things that people say, it's like a piercing sword. Have you ever thought about something? Why do people not want to be around us? Because you didn't use your right guard under your left arm? It's not that, is it? Because you didn't brush your teeth like you should? It's not that, is it? Why is it? Is it because that we're whiny? That we're complaining, that we're accusing, that we're cursing, that we're swearing, that we're backbiting, that we're murmuring, that we're boasting and lying? Is that why people don't want to be around you? You whine. You complain. Is that right? Brother, have you ever think about these things? Remember reading on 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. He talks about the children of Israel, and he goes there through those verses, which I'm not going to read those first several verses there, but he goes on down and says, neither be ye idolaters in verse 7, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What's going to be enjoyable for me to do today when I get through eating, when I get through getting my fill? Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Look at verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen, verse 11 says, unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They murmurs, they complainers. You know, brethren, if anybody should not murmur and complain, it ought to be me and you. You ever think about that? Friends, God has blessed me so much I can't hold it. That's right. That's right. And I dare say He has you too. But I'm going to try to find something sometime to whine about. No, I ain't. I'm not going to whine it. Sometimes I may think about it, but I need to forget about it, don't I, brethren? And that's what I want to encourage you today, to forget about those things and look for the good things in life. Don't always be looking for those things in life. It's not what you want. Because they don't always turn out good like we want it to. You know, Proverbs 16 and 20 says, Proverbs 16 and 20. Where no wood is, what a wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tail bearer, I'm sorry, did I tell you 16? It's 26 and 20. Proverbs 26 and 20. I apologize. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tail bearer, the strife ceaseth. We don't keep it going because the fire is out. The wood is gone. And if you don't keep telling the tale, it won't be retold again. Psalms 19 and 14, beautiful words in the Bible, which so there are beautiful words throughout the Bible. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a beautiful thought. Let my words and my meditation be acceptable in thy sight. Proverbs 25 and 11. And I love this one too. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. A word fitly spoken. Did we say fitly words? Is our words healing? Is our words what they should be? You know, he tells us in Colossians 4 and 6 they should be healing. Listen to this one. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You know what salt is? It's a preserver. It's a preserver. So he says, let your speech be preserving. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer. You ought to answer every man. Is our words that way? Say, well, now, preacher, I'm going to do better. And I'm going to study to be quiet, as Paul said. And I'm going to let my words be healing and nourishing. Oh, we need it so much. We don't need to be complaining and murmuring and accusing, do we? We don't need to be trying to find fault and pick out the mote in somebody else's eye, do we? I need to get this beam out of my own eye. That's right. Because you know what? When we look into the perfect law of liberty, we see so many things in there to improve our life. And like Paul says, I have not attained. I have not got where I want to be. But this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind and I reach forth to those things that are before. And I press. I press. I'm busy at it. It's just not hit and miss. You know, friends, I went same congregation up there in Tennessee, and first time I ever went there was in the 80s, and there's a weekend meeting. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. So Sunday morning, this guy gets up and leads us singing. And he's an older man. We're going home, this brother, and I said, who's that guy led singing for y'all? He said, that's our regular song leader. I said, where was he Friday and Saturday night? Oh, he don't come, but on Sunday morning. And I said, you let him lead the singing? Silence. Yeah. I said, what kind of example is that? What kind of example is that to your young people? Do you really think God's going to take your leftovers? Amen, brother. You really think that? Me and you neither one don't believe it will, do we? He's not going to take it. We try to fit God in our spare time. Happy ending of that story, though. He's dead now, this brother is. But he came back. That's right, he came back. And he rededicated, and he was faithful as far as I know, because I'm not his judge. His life turned around. And friends, that was 87. And he was about my age then, or maybe older than I am now then. People can change. That's what we're talking about this morning. Not possessed by our possessions. Heard a little story one time. Said this fly is flying around this room. And he sees this juicy looking flypaper. Oh, it smells good. It looks good. So he decided he's just going to light on that thing for a while. So he does. Boy, he slurps in that sweet, juicy stuff. It's good. He gets full. Going to take him a little nap. So he does. He gets through and he says, well, I guess it's time to move on. But he flaps his wings and he can't go. He keeps beating those wings. And he can't go. And what he thought was one time his flypaper was not at all now. It's the flypaper's fly. It's kind of like us sometime, isn't it? We see the world in all its glory, all the things the world possesses. And so we buy these things for ourselves. And we say, these are my possessions. They belong to me. And we take people around and we show them these things we have. And we tell them about these things we have. You know what we do? What's that? We boast. Oh, yes, we do. What does the Bible say? Of all that's in the world, what does it say, those three things? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what was that last one? The pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's the world. Pride of life, see? And that's what, and you know, to me, as I understand the Bible, that's what it kind of goes to life. The lust of the flesh is sexual lust when you're young. Lust of the eyes is what you see as you get older, what you want and what you gather. And then when you get all these things, you have the pride of life and you brag about what you have as pride is in you. Oh yeah, these possessions we've got, we say they're ours. Well, do you really believe they are? You think it might be the fly paper and the fly story? You think those possessions could talk? They'd say, no, you're our man. You belong to us. This is what your life is about. Is that not saying, and this is real personal, isn't it, when we think about the Bible. It ain't for somebody else sitting by today. It's for me. It's for you. It's for us. And brethren, we got to apply because we're going to face it someday. You can like it or not. We're going to face this word someday. There's no ifs and ands about it. We shall all stand before the judgment bar of God. It don't matter how good a mama you had or how good a daddy you had or how good your kids are, or your wife is good or your husband's good. It's going to be up to you on that day to answer for your life. And you've got to be ready to answer that day for your life, for your eternal salvation. Do you not see the urgency of that? You say, well, you know, preacher, you're supposed to preach. Quit about 11 11 o'clock. Well, I'm going to try to quit about 11 o'clock. But what about our eternal salvation? What about that? Are we possessed by our possessions? There's far more to making a good life than just making a good living. Oh yeah. You know, it tells us in Luke 12 and 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And again, Hebrews 13 and 5, and these scriptures are so personal, aren't they? Look what it says, Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. How many times do we do that? Talk about what we want, don't we? Look what it says. And be content. What now? Content. Can we be content with such things as we have? You ever heard that story about a little boy? He had a little tricycle till he saw a boy with a bicycle. Then he got him a bicycle. He saw another friend with a little motorbike. He saw another friend that had a truck. He's happy that he got him a truck. And then he saw a friend with a car and a truck, so he wanted to have both, so he got that. So another one of his friends was married. He wanted to get married, and that's the way life is, isn't it? Are we content? You sit down in a restaurant to eat, and you get a steak, and you look over there, somebody else got a bigger steak. You say, I guess you look what I got. They got more than me. Isn't that sad? That's what he's talking about right here. Is human nature a good word? Can I use human nature? Is that a good word? Is that human nature? Well, that's what the Bible is warning us about. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, last night, we talked about time. I'm not going to talk a lot about it this morning. How do we use our time? Do we use our time wisely? You know, Psalmist David says in Psalms 90 and 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Look at your life. Number your days. Use your time with wisdom. Those of you here last night, I told you a little story. I'm fixing to tell it again. This boy, man, mama's a member of the church too. He is too. I asked him about his mother. I said, well, Brother Bass, she don't get out much anymore. I said, the only time she gets out is every Wednesday and goes and gets her hair done. She don't go to church? Am I missing something? He said, well, preacher, let me tell you what. If I can get out and get my hair done, I can sure go to church. And I tell you something else. What's more important? Is some priorities? Is something out of kilter there? Well, now, preacher, you done gone to meddling. You know, the Bible, it meddles a lot, don't it? Oh, it does. Oh, it meddles quite a bit. And we need it. You know, I think about the Bible like this, that things in the Bible, it may not be what I want, but it's for my good. You know that? That's right. I always think of that. God always knows what's best. It may not be what I like or what I want. You know, Jesus prayed to God, there'd be some other way, let this cup pass from me. How do we use our time? What do we feel like is important? Teach us to number our days. And then what we read last night in James, what he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Your life is a vapor. Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I couldn't wait till I got to be 16. Where did those years go? It goes by, doesn't it? That's right. It goes by. And then forgive and forget. How many of us can forgive and forget? A child has a forgiving spirit. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talking here and speaking here. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 3. And he says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be changed," he used the word converted, "and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso..." Look at that, friends. You're talking about something that's scary. You look at verse 6. And you can offend people not by what you say or what you do, but both of them by the clothes you wear. You wear decent clothes. Sisters, you know what the Bible says about that? You adorn yourself in modest apparel. And you wear those things that are too high, too tight, or too high, or too low, or too skimpy. You can rest assured you're going to answer for it one day. And you can rest assured of something else. You're giving an example to other people to see how you dress. That's right. You are. You better take a good long look at yourself before you get out of that house. That's right. Look at it. Adorn yourself in modest apparel. And I believe it applies to men too. I don't believe the Lord means me to be out there in no bikini on no street either. No, sirree, I believe he means me to adorn myself in modest apparel. Absolutely. But I can offend people by my life, by my dress, by my talk, by what I don't do. You know? These things that I'm not doing. And he warns us there about that. If you offend one of these little ones that believe in me, he said, you're better off now. Not worse off. He said, you're better off with a millstone. Well, about your neck, and you drown in the depth of the sea. You know what he said? You're better off dead. You ain't going to swim with a millstone in the sea, are you? About your neck, you ain't going to do it. He said, you're better off dead than to offend those little ones that believe in me. And oh, your example. And you've got it. You've got an example. And it can be a good example. That's what we're talking about this morning, brethren. But you got to what? What did he say? I press. Can any of us say, I'm living the best I can? Can any of us say, I'm living the best I can? Brethren, today is a day. If you're not, whatever change it is you got to make it, make it. Whatever you got to walk away from, you walk away from it. You turn your back on it. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9? He talked about, to me, and I know I probably mentioned this the other night about this very thing, that verse 27, and I'm fixing the close. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That a part of that verse, okay? Because Paul talks about it could be lost. He said, I make myself do things. Sue calls me to eat, guess what I do? Guess what I do when she calls me? She says, supper's on the table. I'll be busy doing something. Guess what I do? I say, no, I can't come. I'll be up there tomorrow. You believe that? You really believe that? I'm not going to come eat tonight. Yeah. You don't believe that, and I don't either. I'll leave what I'm doing and I'll go. That's right. Why? Because I think it's important. And you know what, when them doors open here on this house, and when them doors open back in Auburn where I go to church at, I plan to be there. One more thing, I'm fixing to close. This woman, this is a true story. This woman passed away one Sunday morning. Don't know the time, but she died that morning. And so the kids... her husband called the kids. They came over. They came, got the body, took it to the funeral home. So the older man starts getting ready. And the kid said, "Papa, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to church." He said, "Papa, you going to church? And Mama laying a corpse?" It's kind of sad. He said, "Let me tell you." I don't know if he said, "Let me tell you." This is what he told him. He said, "If your mother was living, she'd say, 'Henry, go to church. Nothing you do for me. You go to church.'" So I'm going to church. What's important in life? What's important? As we stand this morning and sing an invitational song, if you're not a member of the church, we ask you today to come to be baptized, believing on Jesus Christ, confessing that belief publicly by saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son." Repenting of your sins, you can be baptized tonight for the forgiveness of your past sins. If you are a member of the church, you've gone away, you've strayed away, things aren't right in your life. Maybe you want to ask the church to pray for you to be stronger. I had a lady come up one time, she said, "I just want you to pray I'll be a better mother." I believe it's her word. She might have said a wife too, but I know she said better mother. You might want the church to pray for you. You may do that as we stand and as we sing.